Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I'm back on the Jeff Trek. This is your host, Jeffrey Ferguson. And, hey, Jeff Trek's live again. And we got our communicators set on a fighter in the Federation, someone who loves Star Trek that knows how to fight. His name is Fard Muhammad. And, Fard, how are you, man?
Man, I'm telling you, that beaming up outer planetary space travel never does get – you never can get quite used to that, but I'm doing well, you know, doing well.
So you're on the bridge, take a seat anywhere you want. And by the way, look at the view screen because everybody is looking at you and they love you. They're going to applaud. They're going to applaud. See, those are your fans, man. And I'm your fan too. So have a seat. Where do you want to sit on the bridge? Where do you want to sit?
You know, I'm cool with you know, sitting next to the captain, you know, because I love to
right.
Watch, you know, how y'all do your work. So that's a perfect place for me.
Okay.
Bird's eye view.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Right. Well, you can sit in the first officer's seat. And I'll call you number one, and you know, let's blast out of this galaxy. Yeah, but what do you think? This bridge is pretty damn big, huh?
Hey, you know, I feel like I'm in a space station, man. It gets no better.
Yeah. It's awesome. I have a
those Federation fighters can get pretty small at times, so definitely enjoy being able to come out to a bigger ship.
Right. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is Fard Muhammad. He's MMA fighter, but you've had so many other classes of fighting. It's like I'm an artist. I do all kinds of art. I do painting. I draw. Tell us a little bit about what it's like when you first start out in fighting. I mean, you must have been like, what drew you to the MMA, and how did you get in there without getting your butt kicked, and how are you doing so awesome?
Well, you know, growing up as a young earthling, I was always the kid. You could always expect me to be in a fight. I was looking for the fight. And as a child, my mother told me there's always somebody bigger and better who can kick your ass. So I made it my goal in life to find that person. and you know, year after year, just getting better. And, you know, before you know it, I'm at the top of the game and I'm about to be the world champion.
Can I share something with you? You're not actually on the bridge right now because I didn't beam you up yet. You're in a room that is fooling you. You're in a holographic situation, and I need to get you out of there. You need to beam up with a real Jeff Trek. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm totally ready. Totally ready.
All right, I'm beaming you right to the bridge. Hold on a second. We had to find out if you were the real Fard, and you are the real Fard. So you're now on the bridge. Now look at the bridge. Isn't it bigger than you thought?
It is. So I throw up all over this thing, man. You guys keep on beaming me around. I'm telling you, I got motion sickness.
Yeah, we're gonna warp out of here real soon. I promise. Did you hear that?
I was too busy puking.
Oh well, let's go to warp. Let's go to warp 10. Hold on a second. We're gonna warp out of here. Hold on, that's a transporter. We're going to warp out of here real soon. Listen to this. Listen. We're going to the next part of the galaxy. We're going to space. Did you hear that?
Damn, you see that flying
you hear
that
that?
Alien we just passed? I heard it.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Yeah, do you remember Star Trek 2, Khan? There's Khan that's like,
he asks me.
Hold on.
He tasks me, and I shall have him. I'll chase him round the moons of Nibia and round the Antares maelstrom and round perdition's flames before I give him up.
That's actually my second cousin on the Martian side. It's all good.
Do you remember Star Trek 3 when Kirk was punching the Klingon, kicking him in the head, Captain Kern? It was actually the guy from Taxi. Do you remember that?
Oh, see, that makes sense, because I taught him how to do that move. That was back on Earth, though.
All right, well,
still driving Taxi.
Well,
yeah, see that part. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you do to people. You're like, I've had enough of you, and then you just fucking let go. Excuse me. You can swear, but I try not to swear. But there's no internet police here, so you can just talk your mind out. Just be good. I try to keep things clean, but you know what? Tell me what it's like. Okay, so you were a kid and you got bullied, right? Probably, and then that's what made you want to fight.
I was never bullied. I had people try to bully me. They tried to bully me. But I'm one of those guys where you gotta kick my ass. There's no punking me. You're just gonna have to beat me up. and luckily, you know, the average human and most aliens aren't able to beat me up. So that's how we got into fighting. You know, every day looking for that bigger and badder guy. And then I looked up and realized I was that bigger, badder guy.
Yeah, man, but you were in my car. Now for people that don't know, I do private drives, and I gave this incredible person a ride to the airport. Hey, by the way, that was my pleasure. I know you thought that I gave you a break, because I did. I gave you a break in pay, you know what? You needed to go back, and it was something you needed to do after you got to the airport. You needed to go back. And I took you back.
Yeah, I was
off the clock.
You know, and that's the cool thing about when real recognizes real. You know, people like us, we got to stick together, because we're the ones that save the world, make it go round. You know.
Yep.
When
you can't,
car,
say F you
I
to people.
That, when we were in that car, I found that the whole time we were riding, it felt right. It just felt like hanging out with friends. You know. And so that's what we are today, you know, full circle.
Yeah, definitely. I knew that, and I knew I needed to take care of you, because you were hurting at the time. Your eye was hurt. You were winning that fight the whole time, and then you just got hit on just a weird hit that hurt you, and then you couldn't even do your next fight. And by the way, let's explain to our audience who don't know, let's back up, because we're about to talk about what you're about to go through. But can you explain to the Jeff Trek audience what it was like for you to first get into MMA and fighting? I don't know, what did you do first? You said you did jiu-jitsu?
I started doing karate when I was 3, and I started boxing when I was 5.
Right.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I started doing MMA around 15 or 16 years old.
Okay. And when did you get into MMA? I mean, officially into MMA. I mean, it doesn't have to be a long time.
So my first competition was under the Tough Enough banner in Las Vegas, which is like the most notarized national amateur mixed martial arts organization. And that was in 2011. And shortly after, I won the belt. The 135-pound belt in 2012.
I didn't even know that.
I knocked everybody out in 2 minutes or less.
Wow. How many fights do you have under your belt right now? What's your rating?
I have 14 fights under my belt, And this year I beat the submission grappling world champion. In fact, I beat him so bad that he had to retire. And we fought twice this year. The first time we both got disqualified because it turned into a death match. We both threw the rules out the window and went for the kills. And they disqualified us both. And the second time around, I had his number, and I beat that man like he was in the wrong sport. And then most recently, 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, on October 28th, I fought the Ultimate Fighter veteran, Wallell Watson, and a UFC veteran. And he went three rounds with the champ, PJ Dillashaw, but he only lasted 1.5 rounds with me. And I choked him on contact.
Wow.
Yes,
sir. So, what does that feel like? I mean, when you're there in the ring, you know you won. I mean, what is it like? I mean,
To win, it really depends on what was at stake coming up to that point. With this one, when I won, I knew I was going to win, but it was more I was happy about the way that it happened because. Up until that point, I was clowning him. I was toying with him. I was making him look real, real bad. Standing in front of him with my hands down, dodging all his punches. Every time I hit him, it would send him flying. He was hurting. And not to mention, he's a foot taller than me. So that also looks really funny when the guy who's a foot taller is the one getting beat up. And so I wanted to keep it on the feet. He kept trying to take me down. And finally, he took me down. At which point I reversed him, and then I took his back when he tried to stand up and, choked him, which I wanted to get the knockout. And at first when he tapped out and we hit the ground, I'm thinking, it wasn't a knockout, it's whatever. But then when I got up, he was face down unconscious. So then it made it as good as a knockout at that point.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
I mean, You're talking like a lot of people don't live on your level. They don't think about what you're thinking about every night when you go to bed, and they don't realize that in order for you to move forward, you got to knock someone the F out,
Yeah,
and,
it's not
That's yeah, it's not like
it's not,
some kind of insignificant interaction. This is something where you either are aware of what you're doing or you're knocked the F out.
Well, see, yeah, the thing is, the difference between boxing and MMA. In boxing, it's about the record. I could not do anything special, and as long as my record's good, they're going to keep on paying me, and I get to keep fighting. In MMA, if you don't finish people, nobody cares to watch you fight, and you still might lose your job, even if you beat everybody. So it's a eat or be eaten, profession, which suits me well, when I'm in the rest of the galaxy, because us humans we don't always have it so good, when we're time traveling, space traveling, from galaxy to galaxy, or universe. So.
Right, right. Well, you're preaching to the choir right now. And I'm not sure you have your war core certification yet, so I'm not sure you can talk about how fast shit can happen.
I'm just a space bandit who they gave a badge. What can I say?
Well, it's so good talking to you. So tell me about how you really, going back again, I mean, you're telling me right now, okay, let's get this out of the way first. What are you about to accomplish? Because you are a champion standing, and we want to know on Jeff Turk where you are at right now. Who are you about to fight? And please tell us about your opponent and tell us how you're going to rip him apart.
So I'm going to have to take it back a little bit myself. So. When I went pro in 2014, I was currently the national champion, like we had spoke about, as an amateur. And, I left as the champion, as the highest champion you could become, and I decided that I would not return to fight in Las Vegas until I was the world champion. And it means a lot to me to come back and fight in front of my people in Las Vegas for multiple reasons. For one, this is where I'm from, and for two, this is where the aliens land at. So I get to fight in front of all my people, And so I decided, I have to go and get this world title and come back. Well, December 2nd is when I get to get that world title. I'll be fighting against Sean Bunch. He's a two-time Olympic wrestler, and he's the Conqueror FC world champion. And his coach and his best friend is actually Daniel Cormier, who is the current light heavyweight champion in the UFC. And Daniel Cormier called me out personally to fight his fighter. So when I come get this man, I'm going to come get this man for real. You see, because everything that I want to bring back, this whole empire that I stand to build and bring back to my home, it all comes down to this moment. This is the culmination of all things. So when that moment presents itself, I will rise to the occasion. And I honestly believe that I'm going to knock him out. I don't want to submit him with I'm known for snapping people's arms, and I don't want to snap this guy's arm. What I want to do is knock him out. I want to knock him out cold, and I want to go in him with punches after he's out.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Clark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like Budweiser? Do you like Budweiser?
I like green tea. Is that close?
That's funny. Well, I just want to play a commercial real quick. This is an old funny commercial from Budweiser. Bud Light.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Golf Tournament Quiet Sign Holder Upper.
Mr. Golf Tournament Quiet Sign Holder Upper.
Boldly you patrol the line between order and anarchy, armed with only your wits, your resolve, and your tiny cardboard sign stapled to a stick.
Actually, I glued it on.
You protect professional golfers from what they fear most. Idle chit-chat 200 yards away.
Stop breathing so loud now.
Because you know there's one thing this spectator sport could really do without. Spectators.
Get them out.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Sultan of the Shush. We'll keep singing your praises as long as you keep telling us to shut up.
Mr. Golf Cinnamon Quiet Sign Holder Upper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
I don't have to do that. I just think it's fun to play commercials.
I always find that funny, you know, when they're golfing, they're like, shh, and everybody has to be quiet when they're golfing. I thought that was ironic because when I'm playing sports, I'm screaming, I'm yelling at people, I want the crowd to get up and, you know, get amped up. I don't care, you can hate me or love me, but get on your feet and make some damn noise. Scream at somebody, yell at somebody, hype this shit up, because I'm about to put somebody in the dirt. And if I was a golfer, I'd be the same way. I'd be screaming, I'd be yelling, I'd be hitting that ball as hard as I could, and I'd tell them people to wake the hell up. I hate golf class.
Well, let's get to the beef and potatoes now, okay, because... You said a little bit about how you got into fighting growing up and martial arts, mixed martial arts, and then MMA, and now you're really at the top of your game. Tell us about what it was like at the worst part of getting into martial arts, when you got really hurt, because I know you got hurt. And it stops you, and sometimes sometimes it cancels out a person's entire. You could have just never fought again. So tell us a little bit about that.
I'd say that my biggest trial when it came to combat sports, I was a boxer and I was headed to the Junior Olympics. And that was my goal, you know, being the Junior Olympics and also, you know, boxing as an amateur to win everything and go to the, you know, the real Olympics. So so that was my goal. I was preparing for that. And on my birthday, my house had burned down. And in the midst of that, I was trying to save my family, and I got severely injured. I had smoke inhalation. I had asbestos poisoning. I had my right wrist severed. I had all of my extensor tendons severed. I had all of the nerves on the top of my wrist severed and halfway through my bone. So it took somewhere about a year, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, somewhere around there, for me to even be able to wiggle my fingers. And it was looked at like I might never, not only would I possibly never play sports again, but I might possibly never use my hand again. And I was in physical therapy in the burn unit for 5 days a week. to get my hand, you know, to work again. But not, there was no time that I ever feel bad for myself. For one, I went in there to save my family, and my family did not die. So that's a beauty and a perk right there. And then for two, every day I had to go to the burn unit for physical therapy, and I'm around people that have been melted, no skin left on their body, people who have been, you know, shot with shotguns and their arms are shot off, you know, or people who fell off like a third story and didn't die, and now all their bones are broke, or the little children who got tortured, or all the weird things that happened. And so I was never able to feel bad. It was always overcome and give these people a voice.
You know, and suddenly, the things that go wrong in our lives really, in the lives of just average people that have problems that are hurting and all that, suddenly that doesn't matter at all, because there are people that are hurting really bad. And we both have a voice. You and I both have a voice, and I like the fact that we can stand up and for our favorite charities and stuff, and definitely give to where we feel we need to give, when we do. I mean, I'm not saying you give or I give. I'm not like giving away anything. I'm just saying both our hearts go out to certain charities that we definitely like to contribute to. But you know, I think about that a lot too when I'm trying to do my best. Like right now, this is what I do. I'm doing Jeff Trek. And everybody's going to hear this. They're going to hit the archives. And by the way, all you Jeff Trek fans are hitting the archives right now. I love you. I love you. You're always there. I don't know if you know this, Fard, but I keep track of all the people that hit the archives. I've had some great interviews with a lot of great people, a lot of actors. So I really appreciate you being on board. This is a great sports episode of Jeff Trek.
I definitely appreciate you facilitating me all the way to outer space. On top of that, it was a long trip, and you know, otherwise, and I didn't have money for that ticket, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, and next time you're out here, we're gonna do a live Jeff Trek from your fight. I know you're gonna come back out to Phoenix. We're gonna do a live Jeff Trek. It's going to be awesome.
I'm the only one that does that thing. And I'm the only one that's willing to turn up all the way up until I go out and break somebody's, you know, nose. So you guys definitely going to enjoy that. Especially when it comes to my man Jeff right here, it gets no more funny. It gets no funnier. It gets no more entertaining. And this guy really keeps me on my, he keeps me on my toes. And I'm a fighter, and he keeps me on my toes. So, hey. That says a lot about
you. Dude, I'd like to have a lot of stuff protecting my face, but I would like to get in the ring with you and spar. I would love to see how someone like me who's not trained can, how good I can do, and then I want you to show me how to maybe fight a little better. That would be really cool to learn from someone as awesome as you. You've been around for so long, just kicking ass, and I am just so proud to be your friend. Let's announce. Let's announce what you're about to fight. Your next fight is what?
So the next fight is for Conquer Fighting Championships, and that one will be in the Bay Area. And I'm fighting for the 135-pound world title against Sean Bunch. They call him Sean the Great Bunch. I don't want to say what I actually call him because it's a little bit vulgar. But,
I think it would be somewhere around Sean the Not So Great, probably. Sean the Not
Well,
So Great.
Well, he calls himself Sean the Great Bunch. I just call him Sean Bitch. And sorry, I had to do it. He has this tag that he posts on all this stuff called Bunch Speed. I call him Bitch Speed. But, you know, that's just because, you know, this is fighting and there can only be one. But you know, back to what we were saying. So that's in the Bay Area for Conquer FC, and what got me in this position is the fact that I fought the Submission Grappling World Champion this year, and I broke all of his bones, like, and sent him out with a concussion. But not only that, so that fight and my last fight gives me two of the biggest upsets of the year so far. And Sean Bunch will make number three. And these guys that I'm knocking off, they're all world-class fighters. Either they're world-class submission grapplers, world-class boxers, Ultimate Fighters, or, you know, they've been in the Olympics. And I'm beating these guys down and retiring them to where they don't even want to fight anymore. So they had to give me a shot.
Yeah, explain to our listeners what that means. When you explain to our listeners what it means when you retire a fighter, that you're just going into the ring with that it's like a normal fight or something. And go ahead.
So when I'm retiring these guys, there's usually two reasons that they retire. And so far, I think I've retired four people so far. And so it comes down to a few things. It comes down to either I retired you because I broke too many of your bones. And it's just not, you know, like, for instance, I've detached somebody's retina before. Well, one guy retired, I detached his retina and I crushed his orbital. There's another guy where I snapped.
I'm sorry.
All right,
sorry, my audience needs to applaud for you. Go ahead, keep listening.
I appreciate it.
That's good.
So there's another guy. He's the California Bantamweight MMA Champion of the Year. I snapped his arm. I broke his nose and his cheekbone in 40 seconds of the first round. He insulted me. You better watch your mouth talking about my city, Vegas Strong, Las Vegas. We don't play that. Mm-hmm. And then also, the world champion, I tore his ACL. I broke his elbow. I gave him a severe concussion, and I'm pretty sure I broke his elbow. I'm 100% sure that I completely tore his.
you need to be applauded.
Hey, I appreciate it. I completely tore his rotator cuff. So I twisted his arm so far that it looked like he was waving hello, but I twisted it all the way around 360 for it to get there. This last guy, so either I destroy you too much to where you can't fight anymore, or I expose all your weaknesses so boldly that you know that everybody you ever fight will know how to beat you after that. So this last guy that I fought, I exposed his timing, his striking style, his ground game, where he's comfortable at, and how to finish him.
Yeah. You were thinking more two-dimensional, like Khan. Remember when Khan said this? Watch.
Because I wanted you to know first who it was who had beaten you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
See, man knows his stuff. So with this most recent guy, it was to the point where it's like, how are you gonna win after I just showed everybody how to beat you without even breaking a sweat? You know, so he had to retire because I mean, you know, it only goes downhill from there. Nice guy.
You know what I hate is, are you about to go into about your dad? I want to ask you about your dad in a second. But what I hate is, as being a comedian or a performer, people like saying, well, tell me a joke, you know, tell me a joke right now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what am I, a performer monkey? No, you know, I'll tell you a joke. I'll tell you a joke out of the old 1980s tasteless joke book, jokes, you know, and I'll tell you a few. But it's like, yeah, you want to hear me as a comedian? Come pay for the show, you know, pay $5, support local stand-up comedy, you know? It's just like fighting, mm-hmm. you know, pay to see someone fight, you know? And it's like you're not going to knock someone out just to prove that you're a fighter, you know what I mean? Because that's stupid. And you're like, as a fighter, from what I understand, you are like an armed weapon. And if you punch someone, because you're so involved with MMA, you're a lethal weapon. You could get in a lot of trouble for hitting someone, even if you're just defending yourself, and that's got to be a lot of pressure too.
It's like assault with a deadly weapon, but normally I keep myself out of situations because I'm pretty unassuming. I don't look like the guy who's done all the things that I do. Especially for the fact that I'm a young man and I'm a smart.
Hey,
dude,
you look like Mayweather. You look just like Mayweather. Of course, you look like the guy. Although you're talking about your size and stuff, I understand. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and then even that right there, that specifically, I look like Mayweather. So people don't think of Mayweather. When they think of Mayweather, they don't think of getting hurt. They think of just getting outboxed. Where with me, it's going to be some lifelong injuries. Choose that fight wisely. I feel bad sometimes when I'm breaking these guys' bones and they go home with like $1,000. It's like, damn.
But that's the deal, you know what I mean? It's either you or them, you know, at that point, right?
Exactly.
Remember Rocky III
Rocky III, and Hulk Hogan said that's the name of the game. That's when he started taking pictures with Rocky and his wife and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that's the name of the game. You know,
I mean,
wow.
He was huge in that movie.
Yeah, he was. Hulk Hogan was always huge. I even liked watching him in the later years, in the late 1990s, doing that. I didn't like how they had to change it to the WWE. You know, it was the WWF. And we could say that on
Jeff
Track.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yep.
That's rough.
WWF.
Yeah. When I was younger, I used to watch that, you know, and then once real fighting came around, it kind of bursted my bubble. You know, once UFC and all that came out, it was like, oh man, people are actually getting knocked out. You know, they're actually getting punched.
That was amazing.
But the funny thing is,
I still
use a lot of those moves. Like in my last fight, just so I can get in the guy's head and let him know that we were not on the same level, and even though I was smaller,
right. He
was the one that was at a disadvantage. So as soon as I came out, I started striking him, but. Immediately within the first 10 seconds, I went behind him and what is it called? A German suplex? German suplexed him on his dome, which people don't normally do that in MMA. That's more of a WWE, WWF thing, but I just wanted to know, look, I'm about all that
tell
weird
people
shit,
where,
and
tell,
it's going
to
hurt.
Tell people where they can go to see these videos on YouTube.
Oh, So if you want to find me on YouTube, you could type in, my name is Farad Muhammad. It's spelled in Arabic, so my first name is spelled S-A-R-D, and my last name is spelled M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D. And then you just type in MMA after that, and some fights will show up there. Also, if you type in that same thing, the Farad Muhammad, on Facebook, then my Facebook page will come up, and that's when you can see all the real juicy stuff. Also, my Instagram, I post quite a bit of stuff there, and it's best by far. So best by far _ Vegas tribe, you know, because I'm from Vegas and I got a rep. Also, I'm the CEO and the president of the Vegas tribe. And anybody trying to reach them or find out about the movement, I'm your guy. So we are the ones. And we're the best out here. You know? Nobody's in Vegas yet. Thank you. You know, like out here we have Mayweather and he has TMT. You know, that's a cool thing that he built there. Nonetheless, they're not from here like that. The people know them as a hometown legend.
No, they're
those
like Romulans. Check this song checked out.
Bearing gifts.
right? Beware of Romulans bearing gifts. You know? Hey, I got a really cool sound effect for you. I love playing this on every Jeff track. It's a Doctor Who misses a crossover to the Dukes of Hazzard about Daisy Duke. Hold on a second. Daisy Duke was hot.
Hey.
Nice legs, Daisy Duke. Make a man go.
Isn't that funny?
Okay.
Sorry.
So,
I like to go off on tangent.
Daisy Duke. So Daisy Duke. Oh, also, so
do you have any Daisy Dukes in your life?
I'm from Las Vegas. All I got to do is raise the temperature, and the Daisy Dukes will come out. You found out.
You have a healthy love life, right? Because if I was your doctor, I'd be like,
Bones, what do you really think?
To be honest, it's like I've had the blessing of being a man who has many lady friends, actual genuine friends, you know, and so it, you know, I'm very comfortable when I'm around women. And so there's many ladies in my life, but as far as intimately, I'm so focused, you know. It's like I see that any of these models, any of these actresses, any of these singers, these women you see on TV, they're in my realm. And coming very soon, I'll be able to sit down and have a talk with any one of them. And once we talk, it's a wrap. So with that being said, I find that I'm trying to dodge bullets because you deal with the wrong one and you can pay for it for a long time. So,
I know. This is what Starbucks.
They have a way of cutting through the Felger carb.
In 2017, I've dealt with some beautiful women. You know, I've dealt with the G.I. Janes in the military. I've dealt with the Playboy models, you know, stuff like that. I find at this point, I just want to focus on my daughter, and then next year we'll talk about what's going on.
You know what? The thing from the Fantastic Four. It's clobbering.
It's clobbering time.
You know what it means when it's time to fight.
Yeah, I actually I did a lot of clowning of Daniel Cormier this year because, you know, he talked all that trash about Jon Jones and then he got beat up and cried on live camera hysterically, and so I posted a lot of pictures about him, and I did this Photoshop thing where he looked like the Thing from Fantastic Four, and he was crying, and then I showed all kinds of pictures of the Thing being beat up by the Hulk and, you know, having a fit and, you know, crying or the Hulk having to carry him like a baby.
As a physician, you of all people should appreciate the dangers of reopening old wounds.
Yes. So me and the Thing go over that. Speaking of clowning people, there's a guy from Arizona, and his name is Ed West. He's a Bellator contender in MMA, and he's a striker, and he has a ground game. But he just called me out recently, a few days ago. So if you guys are familiar with Ed West, tune in, because I'm going to beat the dog shit out of that man. So just heads up.
All right. Hold on. All persons to battle stations.
Right. I feel a Klingon style beatdown coming on.
Identify for retina scan.
Okay, you check out. you're about to fight a champion. And you know what? You got to think like Khan. You got to think like a
Do
you know the Klingon proverb that tells us revenge is a dish that is best served cold? Mm.
So he's a
cold
champion.
In space. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I played these sound effects without your knowledge and kind of cut you off. I appreciate your patience with me, but it's just so it's funny. Go ahead. So you were saying you're about to kick the shit out of a champion. What are you saying?
Yeah. So what I was saying is he's a champion, but I don't respect him as a champion. You know, the night he fought for the belt, I fought the world champion right before he fought. I beat the world champion so bad that they had to rush him in the ER to the ER right away. And while the champion right now, he was fighting for the belt at that time. And because all the paramedics had to leave, they stopped his fight in the middle of the fight and gave him like a 20-minute intermission because all the medical professionals had left the building to go save the life of the guy who I just beat up. So, he had a quick fight. On top of that, the guy who was fighting for the belt, thank you. And in addition to that, the man who he was fighting for the belt did not make weight. So he was not eligible to win the belt. And so that's not fair, right? And then so they cut the fight from a 5-round fight to a 3-round fight, and only one person was capable of winning the belt. And so the other guy isn't even fighting like it's a title fight, because for him it's not a title fight. And then so you fighting a guy who doesn't care. On top of that, I just gave you a 20-minute intermission. You know, so he's not the champ.
Oh my
God. Come take what
you know. This reminds me of another Khan episode from Star Trek II when Khan just reached out to.
He tests
me. Let me hear
that.
Hold on.
He tests me, and I shall have him.
Ricardo Montalban.
Chase him round the moons of Nibiru and round the Antares maelstrom and round
perdition's
plain
before I give him up. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Deep, yeah.
I'm sorry. I got to do my Trekkie shit. Go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
Hey.
Yeah.
No,
you cool
I was finished. I was vibing with the Trekkiness. Hey, it's not every day I get to go visit the galaxy. So hey, you know, I'm
yeah, man, you're on the Jeff track.
you're on the Jeff track, and we're having a lot of fun. We can wrap it up soon. I know you've got to get to the gym or something. I know you're trying to do something that you need to do. But I was just wondering also, what is your – I know you like Star Trek, but do you just like sci-fi in general? Are you one of those really cool fighters that – in the MMA that just would love to be like fighting in the future and space-time continuum and all that crap?
You know, if I was able to, man, whew, you know, because I grew up thinking that, explorers were the cool guys, you know, and then on Earth it seems like they've discovered just about everything and they're hiding the rest. So the galaxy is really the new frontier. And, hey, give me a ticket, bro. I'll be right there fighting. Right there. All I need is a shot.
Yeah, man. Right.
You know, as far as sci-fi and you know, as far as sci-fi stuff goes, I'm a big fan. You know, the creators, the people who facilitate, the ones who are involved in this as characters, whatever it may be, you guys stretch your mind so far to achieve these things, you know, and to really embody what it is that's been set before you. And many of the people are pioneers, because the things that they are trying to bring to life and embody have never been before done. And yet they don't fail to captivate, you know, all with all the things that they do. Like, for instance, I remember watching Star Trek, and there's a man, and he is a robot, but he looks like a regular man, and he's a fantastic singer, you know. And are you familiar with what I'm talking about? I got to give you the quiz.
Data from Star Trek: The Next Generation. He's an android, yep. And
yes,
I've met him in person. I've met him in Star Trek Boston. He's a great guy, you know. And so go on, finish your thought.
Like I've seen the way he embodies being an android, but at the same time, he still holds on to the fact that he is an android playing a human, you know, which is his actual, you know, purpose on the show. And just some of the stuff that he spits out, you're like, man, is he an android? And you got to remember, no, this is bullshit. You know, he's a man, you know, or you know, there's just so many different things that come out of sci-fi that just blow my mind. Or,
wait,
I know this kind of taboo, you know, being, what's that?
No, I'm sorry, I was cutting you off. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, or, I know this is taboo because, you know, us Trekkies don't like to, you know, dip on both sides of the fence. But as far as Star Wars, I remember when I was a child, and I watched the one where young Anakin Skywalker grew up. And you're familiar with the one I'm talking about? The one who was playing him was the same guy who was the main character in that movie Jumper. But just the thing
right,
that
the
they
Jumpers
achieved,
is that's where I was going with that, because in the new Star Trek series, they're not just doing warp drives, they're jumping. And they can jump to like anywhere. You know, isn't that cool? Do you remember that movie Jumpers? Is that what you're saying to me? Because that was a great movie.
That was a really cool movie. And it's like the things that they achieved in that movie, from graphics to plot, I mean, the whole thing was just captivating as a youngster. I'm like, man, these guys really have have one up on the rest of the film industry, who are just doing the same old shit. Excuse my language. And then also,
no problem.
I mean, who doesn't want to go to the conventions that are also involved with these things? I have personally never been to one of the conventions, but it is a big goal of mine. You know, I mean, from the things that are being worn to the plot that people bring with them to the place, you know, they're already in their character. They already are, you know, as the Klingon, or they already are, you know, as the android, or whatever cosplay they choose, you know. I really dig that, because people in this world, their minds have become closed, and people forgot about their imagination. The sci-fi and the fantasy world, it's where it's at in my eyes.
I can see you dressed up like a Klingon, like in the classic Star Trek: The Next Generation cast, you know, in the classic Klingon getup, doing martial arts. I think you would make a good Klingon. And if I get a chance to do a fan film, which I'm very close to doing, I will definitely hire you to do that.
Hey, I would love to. I would love to. You know, I got always, I always wanted to find myself a beautiful alien woman too. So, help me out with that. You know, put me on the market. I'm single.
That's
ready to mingle with aliens.
Yeah. You know, maybe get it, like, you know, those Klingon women are very aggressive. They really are. They will bite. I recently had a Klingon woman. It was a one night stand. I know it was too much information, but I'm not going to say too much. But it was a friend of mine, through a friend of mine, and it was her cousin. And I had no idea that a jacuzzi party was coming my way. I had a jacuzzi party last Saturday. It wasn't at my place. It was at her place.
Hey.
And it was amazing.
I like.
Yeah.
You know,
she initiated first contact. She initiated first contact with her toes and feet and pulled me next to her and then grabbed me and said, okay, I'll say it as politely as I can. Do me now. She didn't use the D word. She used the F word. But it was the most incredible thing. We're outside. It's like 3 in the morning. No one's there. And it was just so incredible. And then we just spent the entire night. It was wonderful. I don't get many of those moments, man. You probably get those moments all the time, and you're like a public figure just like me, but you're like more of a public figure. You're, you know, a kick-ass public figure.
Hey,
so,
you know, I normally try to avoid it. It's one of those things where I'm like, where I'm in the town I'm from. I've been like hometown famous here since I was in junior high for you know different reasons. And so those what we consider groupies, I've been used to those, you know. I grew up around women like that, and I find that at this stage in my life, I'm interested in something on the next level or something significant. It's got to be one of the other. So
you know,
right.
It's like, but you don't want, you also as attractive as the young ones are. You don't want someone younger than you, because they're still experimenting, they're still doing things, they'll still cheat. You know what I like about cougars, and she was all cougar. It was that she knew what she wanted, even if it was a one night stand or if it's going to be continued. She just treated me with respect, and she was nice. She played footsie when we were sleeping. It was one of those really cool one night stands where two people respect each other when they were adults, and it was fun, you know. And I didn't see it coming, she didn't see it coming, but we both were coming.
Oh, yes. Well, like what you're saying with the Xeons being aggressive, and then also older women. So I think I have no problem with Klingon, because I dated a Russian woman for 2 years, and once you date a Russian woman for 2 years. You know, you're officially, you know, badass. And to mention there was a large age difference. You know, I'm 26 now, but I think I dated her when I was 23 to the time I was 25, and that was from when she was 38 to the time she was 40. So I mean, the woman is gorgeous.
Wow.
You know, age is nothing but a number when it comes to the fitness, the beauty, and all the
That's
things
right.
that a woman was capable of. So you know, so. You know, she definitely,
it's okay
she definitely...
to it's okay to date people that are older than you. And you know what? A lot of times it's smarter, because they've already been through a crap. And if they're smart, and if you key into that, it makes for a good relationship, because you know you avoid headaches. It's so good to hear all these different sides of you. And thank you so much for joining Draft Truck. Hey, you want to do another commercial just for fun?
Definitely. Also,
I don't do commercials.
Nanu, you got to, you know, can't forget about that, you know.
All right, let's do some McDonald's filet of fish.
Man, I dig inner monologues. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, look, a filet of fish just sitting here in my mind being all delicious. Hey!
That's my sandwich.
What? How did you get in my inner monologue?
Door was open. Give it back.
Man, get your own invisible sandwich.
Any day is a great day for a Filet-O-Fish sandwich. And right now at McDonald's, you can get two Filet-O-Fish sandwiches for only $3.33. For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary.
That's an old commercial, by the way. That's a really old
one. 1992. I love it. Commercial. 1992,
yeah,
on that commercial.
Yeah, I got Old Spice. I got Quiznos. You want to hear some Old Spice? You want some Red Robin?
Hey, sure, let's do it.
Old Spice. Let's
also,
I want to remind everybody.
Hello, ladies. Look at your man. Now back to me. Sadly, he isn't me. But if he stopped using lady-scented body wash and switched to Old Spice, he could smell like he's me. Look down. Back up. Where are you? You're on a boat with the man your man could smell like. What's in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It's an oyster with two tickets to that thing you love. Look again. The tickets are now diamonds. Anything is possible when your man smells like Old Spice and not a lady. I'm on a horse.
Fine.
Wow. What do you think, man? It's funny, huh?
Yeah, that wasn't a bad one.
I got a bunch of them. We'll have to get to them next time we talk. I know you got to get going, and I got to get going too, but it's been an absolute pleasure. And I want to know how you do with your fight. And by the way, when you get to Phoenix, I want to be behind the scenes with you, man. We got to do a Jeff Track live behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm totally with that, man. I've been looking forward to that since we met. And also, I want to remind everyone to live long and prosper. You know, don't forget that one.
Getting stuck.
Cannot forget that one.
There you go, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, yeah. Peace and long life, my friend. Peace and long life. But we always go out with Jeff Trek. We always go out on a theme song, and usually it's a 38 special. I don't know if you like 38 special Back Where You Belong, but that's kind of our signature out. But before even we go out, I just want to give, hey, ladies and gentlemen, let's give this guy a round of applause.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I want to thank all the people on the phone during the break to get here.
Yeah, and let me look at the controls here. Maybe we can warp out of here. No, you care. I have a sound effect. It's not my sound effect, but it's. Do you remember WKRP?
I don't know about sound effects, man. This is all the real thing. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, listen. Listen.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on.
Cincinnati.
I was going to say, it sucks when you remember a song but don't remember the words enough to sing along. I wanted to sing along, but I'm like, hey, what are the lyrics? Good song.
Well, as we walk through these doors, here we go, walk through the doors. Listen, Lug, I'm gonna beam you anywhere you want in the universe, or we can just warp out of here and go on vacation like a planet Riza and just... You don't have to worry about fighting. We can have tons of chicks around us and have a good time. You feel like warping me out of this galaxy, or do you have somewhere to go right now? Because I'll beam you anywhere you need to go.
I got somewhere specific. So I'm going to need you to I'm going to leave the paper towels behind. I'm going to grab some actual provisions that could save some lives, and I need you to beam me over to Puerto Rico, you know, because I actually care.
Oh, there you go. Help some people out, man. Always the hero. Never not the hero. Awesome, dude. I appreciate that. That's a good thing, man. That's why I know you're such a great guy, and we're gonna have a great time. You come down here to Phoenix, we're gonna do a live Jeff Trek, you're gonna fight, you're gonna kick this champion's ass, and we're gonna have a great time.
I have an option to fight out there on November 18th, so you know, maybe I'll sign that contract. We'll see what happens.
All right, well, let's warp back to Earth. Hold on a second. I gotta warm up the warp engines. And there we go. All right, yeah, we're in Earth's orbit. So, Where do you want to get transported to? And then, and by the way, stay on your comm unit, because I'm going to play a song by 38 Special, Back Where You Belong, Back Where We Belong. And that's where Jeff Trek always belonged. Okay?
Okay. Let's do it. Headed to Puerto Rico.
All right. I'm beaming you there right now. You go save, some lives, my friend. Go save some lives. You ready?
I'm all with it. You can count me, brother. Thank y'all for having me. And remember, live long and prosper, Galaxy. Ready? Adios, y'all. Let's beam.
All right. Strike a pose like Madonna. You ready?
Hey, I'm on it.
I'm gonna talk to you after the show, so don't hang up. You take care, pal.
You too, brother. See you on the other
all
side.
Right, kick some ass, all right? Kick some ass. You got it? You understand?
That's the only option.
All right, here you go. There you go. Yeah. Bye bye. All right, that was Fard, and I know he's hearing me right now on his comm unit. And Fard, you are right where you belong, and on Jeff Trek, and it's been amazing. We got to have more talks about what goes on the MMA and UFC. It's such an incredible world that you've been able to survive in, and it's meant a lot to me, and I'm so glad that you were able to get on Jeff Trek. And I wish you the best in your new fight. I hope you kick this guy's ass. I really hope you don't get hurt, and I certainly hope that it doesn't end your career. I just wish the best. And right now I'm like searching for this song, so I'm kind of like, let me see if I can get it. I went Back Where You Belong, because that's a signature Jeff Trek ending song. And if I can't get it, I'll just end the show. But it's been wonderful having you on board. And I got some Battlestar Galactica sounds. Let's play some Battlestar Galactica sounds while I'm for some.
Masked laser turrets report and attacking Battlestar.
Okay, and this is a
good Masked laser turrets report and attacking Battlestar.
And watch some more Battlestar Galactica.
But the odds are astronomically against it.
Oh my goodness. Well, I can't find it, so what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna sign off. Fard, you're a great guy. And there's an attack.
Laser turrets report and attacking Battlestar.
Total geek. I'm a total geek. What about this? What do you want from me? We'll close out with some Pink Floyd. Fard, you're getting a classic send off. Pink Floyd, what do you want from me? I want the championship. That's what I want. Yeah, that's the way to go. Pink Floyd, ladies and gentlemen, what do you want from me?
Thank you. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.